it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Steelers rookie camp begins today, and that means today on the North Shore Drive podcast, we'll get you a first look at that, but also talk about the Steelers' history of whether rookies start or don't start. What does that say about this year's rookie class coming in and whether or not they'll start right away? That question about a former Steeler returning, and we've got more Paul Skeens talk from Noah Hyles on the Pirates beat, all here in an action-packed Friday North Shore Drive podcast episode from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter here with one of our great Steelers beat writers, Ray Fittipaldo. And here at the North Shore Drive Podcast, as always, you can find our show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the daily content that comes out from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, as well as the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive Podcast. And a reminder, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you can sample one of their 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. More on them later. Ray, rookie camp is upon us. It's the time of year we finally get our first eyes on all the different guys. Now, here's the thing about it. You know, it's just football in shorts. It's not any. We're not going to find 1,000 revelations and learn everything about these guys. But it's our first chance, or the Steelers' first chance, to work with them, see what they got. We get to talk to these guys and get a nice spring sense of where things are going. But I think there's a question this year, Ray. Is this a year with the everyone excited about Troy Faltano and excited about Zach Frazier, but they think right back to last year? It took Joey Porter Jr. some time to become a starter. It took Broderick Jones until the midseason to become a starter. Is this a year where the Steelers buck the trend of maybe rookies starting a little bit earlier than they normally have?
Yeah, I think there's a great chance of that happening, Chris. And I think there's a couple of factors that go into that reasoning. And, you know, number one, what are your team needs? And I, you know, first off, when I think of team needs, I think of Zach Frazier, you know, 4-year starter at West Virginia. The Steelers released Mason Cole in March. There really wasn't another guy on the roster who ever played center on a full-time basis in the NFL. You know, James Daniels did it with the Bears, I think, 3 years ago. Nate Herbig has done it, but never really over the long haul. So, you know, I think Frazier is going to have a great opportunity. And then the other side of that coin is, you know, it's really up to the player a lot of times. You know, I go back to 2010, Maurkice Pouncey came in with all this fanfare. But, you know, Justin Hartwig was a guy who the Steelers won a Super Bowl with in 2008. He was not a terrible player.
Right.
But Maurkice Pouncey was so good in training camp that year, and he really showed himself well in OTAs and minicamp too, but it only took him a day or two in training camp until he was handed that starting job. So is Troy Faltano one of those guys who just comes in guns a-blazing and, you know, the Steelers know he's a guy right away? Or maybe he's a guy who, you know, needs a little bit more seasoning. So, you know, when I think of Faltano, I think of, okay, Washington, 30 career starts, 23 yeah. years old, going to turn 24 in the fall. You know, there is this, you know, this sense that maybe he is ready for that role. So, yeah, again, it has to do with number one, Steelers needs. Number two, is that player up for the challenge? And I think, you know, the Steelers have a couple of guys who could fit that bill this year.
I certainly do think that there's Zach Frazier especially fits the center need too perfectly. They haven't done any moves. They cut Mason Cole before we even got to the combine. That's what that caught all of us off guard. Like, whoa, they were a little hasty in doing that. And so Zach Frazier's kind of penciled in. But Faltano, you're right, brings a whole different line of how this is going to work. Broderick Jones, one of the things about Broderick Jones was that he was raw coming out of college, and not nearly as raw as like Amarius Mims, who had just 8 starts, but there were some people questioning like, man, maybe Broderick Jones needs some polishing. And then we saw once Broderick Jones was thrown in on the offense that he made a world of a difference. They went from being one of the least effective rushing teams to the second best rushing team in the NFL in the second half of the season there. And, but Faltano's coming in. One thing that Faltano's bringing is experience. Like you said, he has all those starts at Washington. He's a very versatile lineman. He's a guy that can handle different roles. And I think that's where the Steelers are very excited to get him in there. Also, you know, we've heard the talk that the Steelers want to move Broderick Jones to left tackle. And Dan Moore Jr., a guy that you and I, we've talked about it for years, wondering, is he ever going to move to right tackle? It seems like he can't do it. I think this might be the year where Broderick Jones goes to left, and then Dan Moore Jr. has to prove that he can play right tackle. And if he doesn't, Troy Faltano, it's not even a matter of proving. He has to prove it. He plays it well, not just play it at all. But I think Faltano is going to push him there for some, you know, and I would even give make it a Faltano a favorite to start this year, which, you know, you go back throughout the years, there's guys like Najee Harris who've started. There's guys like, you know, Marquise Pounce, like you said, started for when they came into the league. But there's been plenty of guys who, you know, took their time coming up into the Steelers starting lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned, you know, it's football and shorts, and there's really not going to be a lot, you know, to read into here, certainly this weekend. But the one thing I want to watch in rookie minicamp and also OTAs and minicamp, more importantly, is where does Faltano line up on the first day on Friday?
Yeah.
Is he on the right or is he on the left? You know, once the full team is assembled for the first practice, you know, of OTAs, is he on the right or left? Where is Dan Moore, as you mentioned? So, you know, the comparisons between – we're going to get this a lot, Chris. Over the next 4 months, we're going to get the comparisons between Broderick Jones and Troy Faltano. But they're really different stories. I mean, Broderick Jones was 21. He was an underclassman, 14 career starts at Georgia. Faltano, as I mentioned, 30 career starts, going to turn 24 during the season this year. And, you know, he expired his eligibility. He was a senior when he came out. So – you know, it's really different stories, and that's what I was talking about at the beginning. Each player gets to tell his own story. Each player will dictate when he is ready. And if Faltano proves himself to be a starter, I think you're very well right. I think you could see Broderick Jones move to the left side and Faltano get plugged in on the right side. The more delicate thing would be if Faltano doesn't show an ability to play on the right side, then – I think you would see that worked out over time. Okay, Faltano, you're going to go left, Broderick. We got to send you back to the right, but that's not going to happen this spring. I think that's something, if that occurs, that would be probably decided in Latrobe up in, you know, July and August.
I think certainly that's part of it. I want to talk about some of the other rookies, particularly the third rounders, when you look at Roman Wilson and Peyton Wilson. But I think at this point, Roman Wilson kind of like by default looks like he might get a starting role in the Steelers offense, whether that's second wide receiver or the slot receiver. I think he has a good chance to be up in there. Peyton Wilson won't be a starter, in my opinion, because you got Patrick Queen and Landon Roberts. But if Cole Holcomb isn't ready to go by like the start of the year, which we're not sure if he will be, I imagine Peyton Wilson, while not being a starter, will get plenty of snaps at the linebacker position as they rotate guys in and out.
Yeah. So let's tackle Roman Wilson first. You know, what does Mike Tomlin always say in the lead up to the draft about receivers and defensive backs? 7-on-7s in high schools. These guys are more ready than ever to come into the NFL and contribute. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, but if you look at the Steelers receivers room right now, you got George Pickens, and then you got a blank space at number 2, and then you got Roman Wilson, Quez Watkins, Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller. I can go on and on. They got about a dozen guys who can fill out those 3, 4, 5 roles on this football team. So, listen, if Roman Wilson comes in and excels in rookie minicamp and OTAs this spring, then maybe they don't feel the need, going to the training camp to go out and get themselves a number 2. You know, we'll see how that all plays out. But that's one thing to keep in mind here. You know, the proliferation – of high school football, spread offenses, off-season training, seven-on-seven camps in the winter and the spring before they even get to real football and pads. You know, we'll see where Roman Wilson is, but nowadays in the NFL, you're seeing a lot of guys like him come in and contribute right away just because they have a feel for how NFL passing offenses work.
Absolutely. And I think it's going to be interesting with him, you know, as far as the passing offense, Peyton Wilson, you know, as far as how he'll rotate in. But I want to get to some other topics here, including a former Steeler who might have a chance to come back and play for the Steelers. We'll talk about that and maybe past guys in rookie camps who have stepped up to give you a sense of other players who do make their mark on the Pittsburgh Steelers by performing well in rookie camp. We'll do all that after this first break here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And they're always putting new ones in and out, so you can always get new things to try every single time you go there. It's an amazing place to be. Mike's Beer Bar is located out on the North Shore, right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street. It's perfect to go to before, during, and after a Pirates game, or just to enjoy a night out in the North Shore of Pittsburgh, where you get to see the beautiful skyline outside. You can sit outside at Mike's Beer Bar, or you can sit inside with one of their 20 different televisions that can lock you in on whatever sporting events you want to follow, whether it's the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, anywhere in Major League Baseball, even any of those obscure reports that you think that might not be in TV. Trust me, Mike's finds a way to get them on their television there. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today, and you can also sample some of their amazing food, like steak on a stone, where your choice cut of steak is brought to you on a heated stone. And every time you cut a piece off, you just press it into the heated stone, and you choose how well done you want every single bite of your steak. It's Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. So go there today, and when you do, tell them Chris sent you. Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers and rookie camp. But before we get to rookie camp, there was a little bit of a report out there, Ray, that are the Steelers looking to bring back Bud Dupree? Because I think some people thought we might be saying Cam Sutton, because that's been the big name. But Bud Dupree, a free agent, a guy who was a first-round pick for the Steelers, and he went around, got paid in the NFL for a little bit, dealt with some injuries, but now he's looking for a new home. And honestly, I thought last year might have been the case. I think he was a free agent last year when they went with Marcus Golden. Do you think that this might be a year where they go with a Dupree over a Marcus Golden? Or where do you see this playing out?
Yeah, this would be interesting. I remember last year, I think it was around April, maybe early May. I was down the facility, and, you know, Bud Dupree was down there having lunch with Cam Hayward and, you know, some of his old friends. And, you know, you start putting two and two together. You say, man, this makes sense. He went and made a little bit of money with the Titans. You know, they cut him. How about a reunion? But then it turns out, okay, he wants to go home and play for Atlanta, where he grew up. So now he's back in the same situation. And, you know, if you're the Steelers, you know, why not kick the tires on Bud Dupree? You kind of know what you have in Marcus Golden. Marcus Golden was 32 last year. He's going to be 33 this year. Played pretty much for the vet minimum. I thought he was really good for his role, number three, number four, yep, outside linebacker, gave you quality snaps when you came in. But if Marcus Golden doesn't come back, I think Bud Dupree is a little bit younger, maybe by a year or two. And, you know, I think importantly for the Steelers, they know him, and they, yep, know we'll be able to talk to him and say, Bud, you're not going to start here. We have our starters, but this is your role. And he knows TJ. He knows Alex. He was a starter here during Alex Highsmith's rookie season. So, you know, people kind of panic about, you know, the receiver room, the cornerback room. Look at the outside linebacker room last year, Chris. I remember being at OTAs, maybe even it was a mini camp in mid-June. Marcus Golden walked onto the practice field, signed his contract a little bit later, and then he was on the team. So anything here with Dupree doesn't have to happen soon. I wouldn't be surprised again if they address this later this month or even early to mid-June. As long as you have a number four in place by training camp, I think that's all you really need.
Certainly. I think that that's the thing, is that it's not pressing to find it now, especially get a veteran. And we know the Steelers, they tried with, like, with, I think it was Melvin Ingram, when they tried to bring him in, and then he said he'd be okay if, you know, with wherever he landed up, then eventually wanted his way off the team because he, you know, Alex Highsmith became the starter. I think the other thing about Dupree is that there's no illusions. Maybe last year Dupree was like, oh, I could still start in the NFL. Maybe this year it's a little bit different. It's like, maybe I need to just kind of realize that my role is as a rotational edge rusher there. But I mean, like, you go back to some of Bud Dupree's days with the Steelers, there was a time when him and TJ Watt were looking like the best edge rushing duo in the NFL. You go back to 2019, where Bud Dupree had 11 and a half sacks, TJ Watt had 14 and a half sacks. And then in 2020, Bud Dupree was on his way to getting another double-digit sack season when he had a season-ending injury in, like, November. He had 8 sacks at the time. That was a year where TJ Watt had 15 sacks and led the NFL that season with 15 sacks before he would tie the record with 22 and a half the next year. And this time around, now you're looking at Bud Dupree. He's not the same guy that he once was. He's a bit older. He's had a lot of injuries piled up. But now, if he's a situational defender, if you're saying, hey, Bud, just go out there and, you know, work with Herbig, I think that could be a really interesting fit for the Steelers to have as a depth option, and a guy that, one, likes the team, and, you know, the team, the defense, I mean, a lot of people who were there are still there, like Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt. It's going to be like a homecoming for him.
Yeah, he knows all those guys. He's still hungry. You know, Tennessee had a couple of good seasons when he was there. You know, Atlanta was okay, but he's still hungry to win, and he's stepping into a defense, you know, with the Steelers that is projected to be very good again. Let's go back to 2020, Chris. Sure. If you remember, Bud and TJ were having great years. It was such a weird year with COVID. I mean, the starts and the stops with, you know, with the cancellations and all that. But when Bud Dupree got injured, I think it was against Baltimore in a night game, the Steelers never really recovered from that.
They did
and
not.
I understand he's not the same player, but that just shows you, that was only 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. That shows you how important he was to that defense at that time. So obviously there's been some wear and tear there. He's 3 years older, but as you mentioned, if he can just come in, understand his role, play 15 to 20 snaps per game, team up with Herbig to you know, fill out that role, I think that could be a positive for the Steelers. So, again, I don't know that I would be looking for this to happen this weekend. You know, he had a meeting, I think, in the building with the Chargers on Thursday. He's also been talking with the Falcons about coming back as well as the Steelers. So this is something that could simmer for a while. But I do think he's a viable option to fill out that outside linebacker's room.
Absolutely. I think if I remember correctly, that game that he got injured in was the weird Wednesday night game that kept getting postponed because of the Ravens COVID violations. So that was a pretty crazy situation. But before we get out of here, I wanted to get some perspective from you, Ray. You've covered plenty of rookie camps, plenty of training camps, and you've seen the guys. So there's a lot of people look at rookie camp like, this is insignificant. But who are some of the guys that you remember that stood out as far as they just got rookie camp invites? They weren't really being looked at to be a potential guy that was going to be to make the roster, but surprised everyone and did end up making the roster for the Steelers.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, everyone pays attention to the 7 draft picks, and I think they got like, 5 or 7 undrafted free agents. And, you know, but that's only 12, Chris. They're going to have about 50 or 60 guys at this rookie mini camp on Friday and Saturday. And these are just going to be tryout guys who come in, you know, kind of their last ditch effort to make it in the NFL before they get on with their life's work or maybe go to the CFL. And I got a couple of names for you. Rookie tryout guy from West Virginia, I think it was 2014 or so, Terrence Garvin, linebacker from the Mountaineers, came here really impressed, got an invite to training camp in Latrobe, and he was with the Steelers as an ace special teamer for 3 years, went on to play for the Redskins and also the Seahawks, got 5 years in the NFL, Chris. He's going to get a pension someday, and he was a rookie tryout guy. So that's one name. And, of course, I think the most famous rookie tryout guy, Duck Hodges, right? Way back in 2019, you know, he comes in, he kind of raises eyebrows. People forget he was not on the team at the start of that season. He was cut but he was brought back after the Ben Roethlisberger injury. You know, they traded away Josh Dobbs that year. Things were kind of crazy in that quarterback's room, but they felt comfortable enough with Duck Hodges to bring him back as the number three. And then we all know what happened after that. He ended up starting a bunch of games on a fun 2019 season that almost ended up in a playoff berth. So, you know, Troy Faletonu, Zach Frazier, Roman Wilson, yeah, everyone is going to be talking about them. There might be a guy like Terrence Garvin or Duck Hodges who's out on those practice fields on Friday, Saturday, who get an invite to Latrobe as well.
Well, I know a lot of West Virginia fans are rooting for Beanie Bishop to make the team. He was an undrafted free agent guy that was signed early after the draft. He might be one of the more favorite guys to make the roster from being undrafted. But we'll keep you up to date with all of that here at the North Shore Drive podcast and at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray, for joining us here to talk about Steelers rookie camp. Stay tuned with all the things that happened there at post-gazette.com. But first, I want to switch topics. Paul Skeens did get called up. Noah Hyles called it when he was on this show Wednesday. We'll get on into all of that here in the next segment of the North Shore Drive podcast. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter here with Noah Hyles, one of our great Pirates beat reporters here for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Noah laid out all the breadcrumbs. He led you right to it. And then it happened. Paul Skeens going, getting called up. He's going to get his first start Saturday for the Pirates. Noah, I'm sure this has been a bit of a whirlwind since that happened. What have you gotten the sense of just like the excitement around the ball club to get this big of a name in here? And as Andrew Destin wrote for the Post-Gazette, this is the fastest ascent for a MLB debut of a rookie in the past 35 years in baseball.
Fastest, promotion for a top overall pick in baseball. Yes. But I mean, yeah, I think honestly, Chris, it happened so quickly. People haven't really processed it yet. From my knowledge, this was something the Pirates kept incredibly close to their vest. I'm pretty confident. I know for a fact he wasn't told in front of the team. There was no celebration. I mean, this came from a phone call. There were only maybe one or two people who knew before he actually found out. So this was something where they moved quick on, and they wanted to keep it a surprise for everyone, for the fans, for the media, for the players. And I think the universal reaction is, can Saturday just get here already? You know, that's the exciting part about all of this. I know Friday is going to be a chaotic day because that's when he's going to speak to reporters, and, you know, everyone is writing as much Paul Skeens content as possible, myself included in the meantime. But Saturday's the day that you want to see for everyone involved. And it's not just Pirates fans. It's not just people who cover the team or play for the team. It's anyone who's generally interested in baseball. You know, a lot of people who love the game of baseball remember Steven Strasburg's debut, you know, where he mowed down the Pirates, ironically enough, struck out 14 batters. And this is going to be, I would think, probably an even bigger debut simply because this guy came to be in the social media era. And he happens to date like one of the most famous social media influencers on the planet, which also kind of grew his brand. But I mean, just as a baseball player, I mean, there are a lot of people who know a lot about this guy. And everyone's going to be tuning in. He's taking on a division rival who's currently tied for first place. It's on a Saturday, which I've talked about before. You know, a lot of debuts don't work out this perfectly schedule-wise, where it's on a Saturday at 4 o'clock. I mean, the only thing that could foil it really is rain. And as long as the weather can hold off, it's going to be a fun one. And it's just something really exciting that I think a team that's struggling right now definitely needed.
It seems like this series, too, is kind of a revelation. It's just revealing, like, hey, this could be the Pirates' future here. Not just Skeens on Saturday. Yeah, Jared Jones starting on Friday. And then Mitch Keller, the ace who they paid, starting on Sunday. And it all kicks off with Jared Jones against none other than Jameson Taillon, who was once one of these young guns in the Pirates organization. This kind of seems like a unique opportunity, you know, to go up against, again, a division rival, a team that, you know, if the Pirates could just win this series, don't have to sweep, just win two of these games to maybe set a different tone for this season, especially if Skeens comes out and just lights it up 4:05 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching has kind of lit it up already, though. That's the thing, where it's like, you know, there have been a handful of bad starts here and there, but for the most part, this has been a really good starting rotation. I think they're top five in baseball in quality starts as a rotation. You've got guys like, I mean, Jones is obviously the headliner, but Martin Perez has had a good season. Bailey Falter has been good. Mitch Keller has been really good as of late, with a complete game being his last start. I mean, yeah, it's Skeens is going to add excitement, but he's not going to change the direction of the team as far as bringing stuff that's missing. He's just going to maybe give a spark where if you're a player and you see it's like, okay, like this is a move they didn't necessarily have to make. A traditional Pirates move would have been to hold him in there until June, get the Super 2 thing completed, and then you bring him up. But this is a win now move. They drafted a player that would instantly come up and help them become a better baseball team last July. They allowed him to pitch professionally last year, which some organizations probably wouldn't have. And they brought him up after just 7 starts in AAA this season. If you're a player who's been told by the front office, by the coaching staff, we're trying to compete this year, we're trying to compete this year. You see Jared Jones make the opening day roster. You see Paul Skeens here in the first full week of May. Those are moves that echo that. And while I don't think their next playoff team, like that roster, it's not complete yet. There are still many pieces that needed to be added both within this organization and outside before they're a true contender team. This is a big step forward. And for the guys like Ke'Bryan Hayes, Brian Reynolds, who are signed on for a long time, or even the O'Neill Cruises, who still have a long time before their deal expires and are a big piece of this puzzle, it is something exciting that might make you play a little better and provide a spark to the club as a whole, which is valuable because, again, they need it right now.
One thing that you brought up when we were talking about, like, what's this going to look like when this eventually happens, was the potential of having a 6-man rotation. And it seems like, at least for this next upcoming week, it seems like Skeens is going to be back in with a normal 5 rotation. I see Keller, Priester, Perez, then Jones all lined up to start, and then Skeens back in the rotation again there. Is that something you see set in stone, or do you think that's going to be something that adjusts as we go forward in the season?
I don't know. I mean, any starting rotation outline is speculation right now, because I mean, if you look on the Pirates website, they don't even have a starter listed for Friday. So I think that's just, you know, based off of what the current schedule would dictate. Gotcha. But I mean, there's a chance. I mean, they could go a lot of different ways with this. And granted, by the time people are listening to this, we probably will know who's starting in the Friday game. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways they could go about it. They could use this as a reset opportunity where in one of these games, they just go with another bullpen game and give everyone a little bit of extra rest and kind of reorganize the rest of the rotation how they want. I still do expect them to go with a 6-man rotation for the time being. Okay. And then for the next, I would say probably by the next time they're home, which would be in the week leading up to Memorial Day, that's when they'll probably determine a weak link in that rotation. That could be Quinn Priester. That could be Bailey Falter. And depending on who the player is, there will be a different move made. If it's Priester, he has options. You can send him back down to AAA. Bailey Falter doesn't. So you're going to have to move him to the bullpen. And if you move him to the bullpen, someone from the bullpen's got to go down. Or in a case like if you're Roansy Contreras and don't have any options, you might just get cut. Or DFA. So there is a very tough decision to be made moving forward. I don't expect it to be made Friday. I think they'll just take the easy route. They'll send down Kyle Nicklaus, who's a rookie reliever with a ton of options. They'll send him down. He'll be back up in the major leagues like 2 weeks from now anyway. And in the meantime, they'll just run with this 6-man rotation until they really figure out what they need to do. Because if sometimes baseball has a funny way of figuring things out on its own, right? Someone might just come down with an injury and it's like, all right, this is what we have to do. But if all 6 keep pitching well, then yeah, they just roll with it. Or if one guy starts playing poorly, then you can move him to the bullpen or do whatever you need. Or maybe they make a trade. I don't know. There's a lot of options. I don't think that's the top priority right now. I think it's just getting him here, getting him acclimated, and using what has been the team's strength as starting pitching depth.
Now, one of the things, Noah, that, you know, now Skeens is in the majors. That's the one minor league that's you know, kind of off the board now. People can stop worrying about. But I'm sure there's a lot of Pirates fans who are like, all right, we've heard about all the guys that are in the farm system that are doing so well. Who do you think is the next big name that gets called up for the Pirates to be, make a difference as far as a minor to the majors type guy?
Well, there are a couple guys in AAA who I wouldn't say are big names, but I think that could help this team this season. Jake Lamb's a guy at first base who was an all-star in 2017. He hasn't a major league all-star. He's 33 years old now. He hasn't played more than 80 games in a big league season since 2017 because of injuries or inconsistency. But he's currently leading all of AAA in batting average. And he's a nice veteran left-handed bat who doesn't strike out a lot that I think could be, you know, what he kind of wanted Rowdy Tellez to be for the team this year. And I'm not suggesting they cut Rowdy Tellez, but, you know, maybe he comes down with some soreness in an arm or, you know, an oblique and takes a couple days off baseball. And you give Jake Lamb an opportunity. Nick Gonzalez, a former first-round pick. I mean, Jared Triolo is the best defensive second baseman in baseball right now, according to a lot of metrics. But he's not hitting, like, hardly at all. So maybe you substitute offense for defense at that spot. Jiwon Bae was a guy who was electrifying early last season, especially with his speed on the base paths. They could probably use him at the top of the order, laying down bunts, you know, creating a little bit of havoc on the base paths. Those are three guys I identify. Maybe Lolivar Piguero as well, another middle infielder. Those are four guys I identify who are having good offensive seasons and could just be something different. But as far as big-time hype, there's probably not going to be any more debuts to be super excited about this season. Next year, I would circle Bubba Chandler as a guy to get excited for. He's currently a top 100 prospect in all of Major League Baseball. He's in AA right now, pitching for the Altoona Curve. Highly encourage baseball fans to go out there and check him out while he's still there, because I think he will be in Indianapolis before this season ends. This is a guy, Carter, who is, I think, probably the best athlete in the organization. He was a quarterback commit to Clemson. Pirates drafted him late. But were able to give him a high signing bonus because they took Henry Davis with the first overall pick and paid him a lesser signing bonus. So Bubba Chandler was originally drafted as a two-way player. He did that for a couple years. Last year was his first season of being just a pitcher. Took him a little bit of time to figure it out. But since the All-Star break last year, this guy has been absolutely dominant. He's another guy who flirts with triple digits on his fastball, has some nasty breaking stuff. I wouldn't put him in the Paul Skeens category, but as far as minor league prowess, not far away from Jared Jones. So you're looking at it. I mean, and I don't know if he'll be up as early as Paul or even Jared debuted this year, but I think he would be a guy that would come up next year in June, July. And not for super two reasons, more just because, like, he needs some time. He's still pretty young. And he's another guy where you're adding him to the list of names, right? Skeens, Jones, Keller. You got Johan Oviedo coming back next year from Tommy John. You've got Quinn Priester, who's still young and shows a little bit of promise. And you don't know what else you have with Anthony Salamedo. There's a whole bunch of names, but as far as the next big-time debut that people are going to go out of their way to watch or buy tickets for, I think it's Bubba Chandler, and I would be willing to bet it's probably sometime next season.
There you have it. But before next season, there's going to be some excitement this weekend. Paul Skeens is up Saturday again. Jared Jones up Friday. It's going to be a lot of youngs. And then you can still see Mitch Keller pitch Sunday. A lot of excitement as the Pirates finish out their homestand before heading back out on the road to play the Brewers and the Cubs this upcoming week. But covering you on all of that will be our guys, Noah Hiles, Andrew Destin, here for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Noah, thank you for joining us here. Thanks to Ray Fittipato, and thank everyone for tuning in to the Friday edition of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, your host here. Remember, Steelers rookie camp is going on this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Our Steelers guys will have you covered there. Our Pirates guys will have you covered on the homestand. Lots of action. And then tune back in Monday as the North Shore Drive podcast returns to recap it all. We'll see you again next week here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.